All right, we're holding at the Mishnah in the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph on the base. Mishnah says, Yavam Katan Shabbat Yavam Aktana, if the Yavam and the Yavama are both children, and they did Bia, what you do is they should grow up together, basically. At this point, there's nothing they can do further. If they want to break it up, they can't, because a Katan can't give a get, and a Katan, and according to most opinions, a Katan can't do Chalitza. So the less better, they're going to have to stay together until they both become gedolim, and then they can and then they can divorce if they want to. Well, yavam gedolim. What if the yavam was a katan and the yavama was an adult? Tigadlanu, same idea. She should raise him because again, the same idea. He can't give her a get. He can't do chalitza. Same idea. So therefore, the less better, she's going to have to raise him, so to speak, as if he was her child. But they're actually married until he becomes old enough that then if they want a divorce, they can do that. Yeah, okay, you know. Another case, Hayavama Sha'amra B'Seich Shloshim Yom Lo Nivaldi, if the Yavama says, and now here we're not talking about a Katan and Katan anymore, here we're talking about a regular adult Yavama and a regular adult Yavama. She says, during the 30 days after, so within the 30 days, it's within 30 days since they did the Yibum, since they, now remember, I mean, what does Yibum consist of? There's a marriage, and then the actual Yibum itself is the Bia. So here the marriage was done, the actual ceremony, but during that 30 days, she says, Lo Nivalti, I didn't actually have relations with him. So therefore, she's arguing, in other words, the Yibum has not been done. Then, now, as the Gemara is going to explain, the one more detail that we need to understand over here, which the Mishnah doesn't mention, is that she's actually holding a get. She has in her hands a get that the Yavam gave her. Right? Now, so we have to consider the possibilities. Had it been that the Yavam had relations with her, and now he gave her a get, that's fine. You know, it's valid, and now she can go marry whoever she wants. If they hadn't had relations, the Zika has not been fulfilled yet, then the get only passes her for Yibum, she still needs Chalitza. Therefore, Kofinosa Shiachlitzla. Therefore, Yitaka, they force him to do Chalitza for her. Because up to 30 days, we believe, as the Gemara is going to say, it's possible, but up to 30, he may have not, during the 30 days, he may not have been so anxious to do Bila, yes.
Which case are we talking about?
No, here we're talking about Gedolim. You were talking about a whole new case. They're both Gedolim. Ordinarily, we would expect that, we would think that right after he married her, they did Bia, but maybe not. Up to 30 days, we could assume that he would not. Now, this is different than a regular marriage. A regular marriage, you would assume it was much sooner, because, you know, a regular marriage of a Sula and a Bachar, you know, you would assume he wants to get it done as soon as possible. Here already, where she, you know, she's his brother's wife, and he's marrying her now, but besides Yibum, maybe he's not so eager. So up to 30 days, we have a chazaka that he may not have done it yet. But during the 30 days, we can believe her that no Be'ilah was done yet. No Be'ilah was done, and the Zikah has not been fulfilled. Then the get. So what happens? So then we're saying the get is only, it only passes her from Yibum. But in that case, we force the Yavam to do Chalitza, because at that point, she's passed to him anyway. Within the 30 days, she's claiming within the 30 days that we did not yet do Be'ilah. I have this get. What we're saying is, we believe her. During the 30 days, we believe that, fine, Be'ilah has not been done yet. Therefore, that would mean the get does not completely free her. She needs Chalitza. Since already the get passes her to him anyway, therefore we force him to do Chalitza. On the other hand, if it's after 30 days that she claims this, we don't assume at that point, there's no chazaka to buttress what she's saying. We assume that Be'ilah was already done. But she herself is claiming that it wasn't, which means, in effect, based on the chazaka, we should say the get makes her mutter to everybody. She herself, though, she, by her own words, is declaring that she's osir. Because she herself is claiming against a chazaka that I'm osir, that I'm osir to marry anybody else without chalitza. So on the one hand, but that's the question. That's the question. If Be'ilah had really happened and then he gave her this get, then she is mutter to everybody. But she herself is claiming that no Be'ilah was done.
And therefore she's still
until Chalitza is done. So we can't force him to do Chalitza at this point because the Chazaka is that he shouldn't need to. But we can ask him, Mabakshin Imanashi Yachlot, but we ask him to do Chalitza. So The Tosfos asks the question, force them to do chalitza anyway. At this point, she's offered to him anyway. What's his partner? It should be koken amidah sedoim. We should say that it would be acting like a person from sedoim to not do chalitza. So Tosfos answers, he's embarrassed of doing chalitza. He would say, I prefer to do yibum and then give her a get rather than having to go through chalitza, because chalitza involves being humiliated and basically and having spit in front of me, etc. I didn't want to go through that. Other mafarshim talk about other possibilities, including one of them is, it's true, she's also taking midrabanan, but just because she's also taking midrabanan, Rabbi Akiva Eger, I think, talks about this, just because if she was also taking midraraisa, then yes, we could say kofen amidastam at that point, you can force him to give her the chalitza. In this case, she's only also midrabanan, that's not a strong enough reason to force him to do chalitza. But we can ask him to. Now this is all if he denies it. He's claiming I did do Bela. If he himself omits it, then I feel
he
lost.
Denies
it. No, the other way around. Both of them are agreeing that he did not have relations with her. So then I feel lost. So then even if 12 months have passed since the marriage, then we can force him to do chalitza, because then at that point there's no question. Obviously the yibum hasn't been done yet, and the get, there's no question it's possible for him. Another case where there's a difference when we force the yavam to do chalitza versus we ask him. If the woman made a neder while her husband was alive that she is not going to have hana from her, that she's not going to have any benefit from her yavam, from her brother-in-law. So then, we force him to do chalitza because she made this neder when her husband was still alive. Which means, therefore, that it wasn't specifically that she was having in mind to patch herself from Yibum. Because, come on, they were here first. If anything, we should move into the other room. Maybe less. If it bothers you, then we'll move into the other room.
Was he
last week we were later than usual, and so the lights went out this time. We shouldn't have that problem. So she made this neder not to have hana from her yavam while her husband was still alive, which means she didn't specifically have in mind yibum. She made it a more general thing. I hate this guy. I don't want to have anything to do with him. So then, now her husband's dead. What do we do? At that point, we can force him to do chalitza for her because she's going to be also to him. But if she made the same neder after her husband died, where at that point she already has a zeta, then then again, you can't force him to do chalitza. It's her fault, basically. So then you just ask him to do chalitza. Now, Tosfos quotes an expression that the Gemara uses in some cases like this, nasan etzba ben shineha, it's as if he put a finger into her mouth and she bit down on it. So like, you know, don't provoke the other person into it, basically. Like, there wasn't really anything he could do. He's not her husband yet. He wasn't able to cancel the neder, the other possibility is the other way around. He knows that's prevention now, that she's the one, it's her fault, she's the one who made this neder. So therefore, all we can do is ask him to do chalitza. If she had this specifically in mind, then even if she made this neder while her husband was alive, then also we can't force him because she dafka made this neder having in mind that she wants to get out of yibum. So all we can do is ask the yavam to do chalitza. So now the first part of the Mishnah, again, had talked about the idea that if you have a Yavam with a Katan and a Yavam with a Katana, they did Bia, they did Yivam, all they can do at this point is grow up together until they both become of age, that then they can do it.
I had a question. I don't ask him, ask somebody else. Just
If it's a short question, then fine. If it's a long question, then better save it for later, yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. Whatever you want. Okay. Okay, so we said that the Mishnah had talked about, you have a Yavam and a Yavama who are Ketanim. They had relations. We said at this point they just have to grow up together, Kufiyat Aleph on the base, because they can't do a get until at least he's of age. Now, but the implication is that there was no problem with them doing Bia. So Lema Masnitin like Rav Meir. Does that mean that our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir? Tanya, Katan Uktana Leichotin Vlemis Yabnin Divir Rav Meir. We learned in a previous parak that Rav Meir says that a Katan or Uktana should not do Yibum. Because what did we say? There's the possibility, now Rav Meir, we say throughout Shas, is always Chayesh Lemiyotah. He's always concerned even about the rare cases. So you might have the rare case, there's 1% of boys turn out to be Srisim, 1% of girls turn out to be Ilonis. A Sris and an Ilonis we established in a previous credit cannot do Yibum, and in fact, for them to do Yibum would be an Isser Erva, because they're having relations with their brother's wife, Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah. So in that case, it would be an Isser Kares. Rav Meir is concerned about that possibility. At the time they were Katan and Ketana, you don't know yet whether they're going to wind up being a Sris or an Ilonis, and therefore he says a Katan or Ketana shouldn't do Yibum. But our Mishnah seems to be implying there's no problem with them doing Yibum. The problem is just afterwards they can't break it up. The answer is no. I feel the same of Meir. No, you could say that the Mishnah goes like a Meir also, because ki omer a Meir gdolah lekatan uktana legadol, because you know what Rav Meir is talking about when one of them is an adult and the other one is a child. She's an adult and he's a child, or vice versa. The fact is, suppose it turns out, let's say that this cotton is a Swiss, or if Tana is an Ilonis, the other one who's already an adult is going to be Chayev Kares, or Mrs. Vastin, or whatever, for the Bia Asura. Let's say, for example, so you have the Yavam was an adult, the Yavama is a child, so she's not chayev anything because she's a ktana, but he would be chayev for Eishes Achiv when it's not the Makom Mitzvah, if it turns out that she's an Ilonis. The Chad Minayu, be a D sort of, one of them is definitely being over in that case. If it turns out that one of them is a Swiss or an Ilonis, the other one is being over is doing a beer that's an Isser and is chayev Kodesh for it.
I just want to ask a technical question. I just don't understand the concept. Is he able to actually...
He's able to have relations.
He is?
He is.
What does it mean? Just can't have children?
He can't have... He has certain physical indications that show that he's never... Maybe it's a hormone problem, whatever it is, but he's able to get a kishui, he's able to have relations.
Yes.
And in fact, we learned previously that one of the simonim of a Swiss is he has semen, he has zera, it's just watery. Shichma zare diha. So, yeah, it's a hormonal problem or of some sort, apparently. Yeah.
No, because there are many regular. Because if we take this whole thing to a step further, there are many regular males that are not.
We'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about.
Capable of having children.
Abba, relax. We'll get to it soon on Kofi Beis and Aleph. We'll get to it soon.
Technically, it's not at 1%.
It's a lot less than fine. 100 to 1%. Whatever. The point is, same idea. Okay.
The question is also, when you say Amer HaShemut, Abab Mimut is the Miyut.
No, whatever, okay, no. Abab Kotin Abo Alaktana, but in the case of our Mishnah, where both of them Aktanim, the Tabayu Ki Adonini, they're both on the same level, neither one is Chayev for Unshin yet, they're still too young for that. Therefore, therefore even Rav Meir would say it's not such a big deal, because as we're going to learn in a few blocks, we're going to have a whole sugya about it in the next parak, that if a Kotin is doing an Isser on his own, Kotin Eich on the Velos, Beistin does not have a mitzvah to tell him to stop. His father does, Mitzad Chinuch. But Beistin, the local Beistin, the regular Jews of the city, don't. So in this case, effectively, he's doing something that may turn out to be an Isser. Okay, but he's doing it on his own. We don't have to stop him.
Theoretically, so does it become whatever.
If it turns out that there's three, him, yeah, it would be an issue. Yeah, of course. Okay.
Then he has to give a chalitza?
No, then he wouldn't have to do anything, because it turns out she wasn't Bas Yibum in the first place. Yeah, no. Okay, the question is, fine, that takes care of the first case of the Mishnah when they're both tanim. But you had also the case where the Yavam was a Katan and the Yavam was a Gdola, and we said she raises him. In other words, they stay married. And according to Rav Meir, how could that be? What if he turns out to be a Swiss? Amar Rav Chanina Chazah, Shiny. You know what the difference is? The Mishnah is not talking about, not saying, Lachila, you should do this. Bidi Eved, if he had relations with her, fine. Even a mayor is not going to say you have to that you have to separate, because you can't. You can't give her a get again anyway. Okay, the question is, v'hatigat lenu kama, but the Mishnah says she should raise him, implying we don't even, Beis Din doesn't force them to separate until they're old enough for him to give her a get, just in case. So obviously it's allowed even l'chila, the chol bia bia di soru. Now when you get down to it, all this time, when it says she's raising him, every time they have a bia, it could end up being she's doing an isur, if it turns out eventually he's a Swiss. So obviously we have to say, fine, our Mishnah is not like Reb Meir. You're right. According to Reb Meir, this concept of our Mishnah would not work out. We wouldn't say Tikad Lenu. We would say that it may be B'dieved, the Yibum with the Yibum, but we will force them to separate till he's old enough, and we demonstrate that he's not a Swiss.
You can't say it's B'dieved, yeah. Because it
yeah.
says we continue.
Yeah, we said that, yeah. Okay. Question is, what are you saying that a cotton can, that a cotton or a katana can do yibum in the first place? The whole point of yibum is to reestablish the brother's name, that you can have children who we said previously doesn't have to be their named after him, but still, like, symbolically they're considered his children, and Alpi Kabbalah, as the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya point out, the neshama is the scoundrel, etc. Here you can't have v'halav v'ahachi, or a child is not capable of that. Amar Abaya. Because, not a problem, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Yavama Yavayalea, called her who? The Pasuk says that the Yavam should have relations with her. The Pasuk does not say, Tosfos points out, the Pasuk does not say, Achki Hameis, which then we would imply, just like the mess was a Gadol, so the brother has to be a Gadol, just says Yavama. So whatever age the Yavam is, doesn't matter.
So if you could use that, why can't you be Marva Saras too?
Because that because it's not. There's no purpose, there's no possibility of Lachim Lachim. Wait. Even forget about the word yavama. You can't say that a child would not be capable of doing yibum, because you have to consider how could you have a case where right now she's osur and only later does she become mutter? We had a basic rule that we said earlier in the Masechta. Any yavama where at the time when she falls to yibum, at the time when she becomes a Shemeres Yavam, we can't say on her Yavama Yavayalel. For example, we talked about much earlier in the Masechta. We have a case, for example, where two brothers are married to two sisters. One of the brothers dies. The woman at that time is also to him as a chos ishto. She's an erva to him. Even if afterwards his wife dies, she still remains also to him.
Because at that point
she was also.
Right.
As long as there was an isser at the time, then we treat it just as if she was a brother's wife who has children, meaning where there's no possibility of yibum at all, and she's also. Same thing over here. If you were to say the idea is that a child can't do yibum, but only when he becomes bar mitzvah is he able to, then the effect would be during all those years he's osur, and all of a sudden he becomes bar mitzvah and he becomes mutter. That doesn't work. Okay, the question is, the Eima Hachinami. Okay, maybe Taka, who says, maybe Taka, then the din would be that if the Yavam is a child, then he's also to do Yibum. The answer is you can't. Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, when brothers live together, which we learned from that, Eshes Achim Shalot Ha'ibar Lama, that if the brother was born after the previous brother died, then you don't do Chalitza Yibum. But, implying after the Ben Yemecha, but if he's even one day old when his brother dies, then yes, he is Shayach to Chalitza or Yibum. Now, obviously, at one day old, he's not capable of Hakim Lachim Shem, but we see in that case, yes, you have to wait until he's old enough. The point is that you see that a cousin is Shayach to Yibum. So he's already Shayach, so as soon as he becomes old enough that he's capable of marrying, even if he's not capable of having children yet, then at that point, he's able to do Yibum. Is it recommended? No, but he's able to. He's able to, yeah. Then the Mishnah continued. Yavama Sha'amar B'Sech Shloshim Yom. So that's the conclusion. Is the Mishnah is not like Reb Meir? It's true, because according to Reb Meir, you would not allow this Yavam Katan to stay with the Yavam Gdola. You would force them to separate till we know he's not a Swiss. But according to the Chachamim, we're not concerned about that possibility. Then yes, maybe Lachat Chila, we shouldn't allow it in the first place. But B'dieved, then we'll allow them to stay married.
That brings up a little point there. I mean, that's a little bit of my question.
That works. Okay, fine. So we're not dashing from Yachtav, really, but we're saying by implication, if Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav is being a brother who was born afterwards, then the implication is that it includes a brother who was really lived at the same time. Yeah. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Yavama Sha'amar B'Sech Shloshim Yom, that a Yavama during the first 30 days after the Yibum, if she claims that no Bia has been done, then we believe her. Man Tana da Pasim Yom Mukim Inashanafshe, which Tana is it that says that up to 30 days a man is likely to hold himself back? There's a chazaka that he might hold himself back and not do bia. That would be according to the mayor. The Tanya. Now here we're talking, forget about Yibum. Here we're focusing on a case of a regular marriage, which we're going to talk about in Ksubas in a couple of weeks. After a man and after a couple gets married, the husband can have a tainas besulim. He can taina after they had relations the first time. My wife was not a besula, which means there could be the extreme case, which the Torah talks about, where he actually claims to have evidence that she was mizana.
Right.
But we're not talking about that necessarily. There could be she's a mukas eitz. It was nus before the marriage. It was an oinus. Whatever the point is. The point is though that we learn in ksubas that a besula has a ksuba of 200 zuz. A ba'ula has a ksuba of only 100 zuz. So either there's different opinions. Rashi says that he lahas ksubasa. That actually his claim is that he wants to say she doesn't get a ksuba at all. It was a marriage under false pretenses. Basically, if I had known she wasn't a besula, I wouldn't have married her. Other mafarshim should learn that it's not. He doesn't want to say nothing. But he wants to argue she only gets 100 zuz of a ba'ula. Whatever it is, tainas psulim kol shloishim yaim.
And is the takis allowed to, according to that shita that you said, the first shita, allowed to live with his wife even without a ksuba?
No, then it would mean that he's claiming grounds for divorce. No, okay. No, we'll talk about it.
In grounds for divorce. It doesn't claim nothing.
We'll talk about it in a few weeks in ksuba, Spaz Hashem. Okay. Tainas psulim kol shloishim yaim. You can make this taina any time during the first 30 days after the marriage. Give it a mayor. Rabbi Yosi says no. Nistira la'alter. If they were secluded together, if they had yichud, then the tainas psulim could only happen right afterwards, like the next day. Which actually the first Mishnah in Ksubas mentions that the minhag in those days was that the psulas would usually get married on Wednesdays. That way, the next day is already Thursday, based in sits, and that way, if he has a tainas psulim, he can right away come the next day. Because after that, Rashi says, if he claims any time afterwards, it might be he really found her psula. Later on, he decides he wants to. He doesn't like her anymore.
Yeah,
whatever. No. But loy nistra, if they were not secluded, so there wasn't a chance for them to have relations. Achlacha kamashanim, and it's not just 30 days; it could have even years later. Tosfos talks about two possibilities. Are we talking about over here when we say nistra or loy nistra? Does it mean whether we know that they were secluded versus we're not sure, or is it we know they weren't secluded versus they're not sure? Anyway, okay. Anyway, the point is, Reb Meir is the one who's saying 30 days. That seems to match our Mishnah. The answer is, no, Rabba Omar Filotemir
Reb Meir. Is there a problem? Was it Reb Meir?
The previous part didn't go like Reb Meir. Okay, so we'll say, fine, different parts of the Mishnah. I knew it was different cases. Rabba Omar Filotemir Reb Yosi. Rabba says, no, you could even say the Mishnah is going according to Reb Yosi. No, the reason why it's better for it to go according to Reb Yosi is because Halacha in that connection is like Reb Yosi. Usually the halacha Rabbi Yosi numuka ima. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. We would rather shtel ayin a mishnah like Rabbi Yosi. So I feel it came with Rabbi Yosi. You could even say our mishnah goes like Rabbi Yosi because ad pan like ka'omer Rabbi Yosi hasam ela ba'arusasa. Because Rabbi Yosi is talking about over there his arusa. He himself was ma'arusah. He himself did kedushin with her. Degispa. He's comfortable around her. So you expect that once they get married, once they're secluded, he's going to have relations right away. Aval eishes achid. But when it's his brother's wife and he's just coming to her like second-hand goods. Mibzah's bothered me now. He's embarrassed of her. He may not be so quick to have relations up to 3 days. Okay, next question. The Mishnah had said that in that case you force him to do chalitza. The question is, why are you forcing him to do chalitza? Force him to do yibum. She's claiming during all these 30 days we haven't yet had relations. Okay, then fine, go do what you're supposed to do. Why do we force him to do chalitza? Because the case is that we're talking about over here, she has a get that he gave her. Now, the question is it a get? Is it that they did Yibum and then he gave her a get, which then it's a full-fledged get and it completely is not to her to marry anybody else? Or is it a get only the Zikasa, that it was meant as a get after the Zika, which only parcels her from Yibum, but she still needs Chalitza? The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. If the Yavama says, during the 30 days, we did not have relations, doesn't matter whether he says I did or I didn't. Either way, the Chazaka is that during the 30 days, he may not have. And in that case, we force him to do Chalitza. But if it's after 30 days, we're already, again, the Chazaka is that he already did Bia, We don't believe her, so therefore we ask him to do chalitza.
You don't believe her because she should have come earlier?
Basically, because after the 30 days, we don't assume anymore. We assume that he wasn't going to hold himself back that long. And again, we discussed before, why is it we don't say once he gave her a get, he passed her anyway? Why don't we anyway force him to do chalitza? Tosfos said because he doesn't want to be embarrassed with chalitza, and there's the idea maybe because she's only also tamed in Abanon. Anyway, how about another case? The Braita continues. He and Meres Nivaldi, if she says we had relations, but I'm a loybalti, and he says I did not have relations with her, so it's the opposite case. So then, Harezi Yotzi beget, so then he has to divorce her with a get. So what happens? He says I had relations, and at that point we're talking. It's after the 30 days. He says I had relations.
No.
You're looking at the wrong case. One second. You're right. Sorry. Tia meres nivalti. If she says we did have relations, roim loy baalti. He says I did not. Harezi yotzi beget. Then he divorces her with a get, because here we're talking after the 30 days.
Right.
So therefore, we don't believe him to say loy baalti. Basically, we believe her and nivalti. At this point, after the 30 days, we assume the illa has taken place, and therefore a get is enough. We're not getting into the case of a get yet. We're trying to prove we have a braisa over here. We said that Rav says the case of our Mishnah is he gave her a get. The braisa so far has not mentioned that he gave her a get. We're trying to establish whether the braisa is talking about that. So here the case is, she claims nivalti, he says loy baalti. We're saying, we believe her, that nivalti, and therefore a get is enough. Yeah. On the other hand, huayim baalti, huyemenes loy nivalti, if he says we had relations and she says not, and it's after the 30 days, afa pi shechazav oma loy baalti, even if afterwards he changes his mind and says we did not have relations, tarach get b'chalitza. Then at that point, she needs a get and chalitza. She needs a get because he says baalti, and the fact that he changed his mind and said loy baalti, we don't believe that. We go according to what he originally said, because that fits the chazaka. That's why he needs so he needs chalitza, because Rashi says shavsul nafshe chaticha deisura. She herself is claiming that I'm still also without chalitza.
Because
she herself has claimed that she's also. So what's the issue over here? We're saying the last case we said she needs a get and chalitza. Obviously, that means she doesn't have a get yet. So then, how does Rav say that the first case of the Braisa, which is the same as our Mishnah, that it's talking about she's already holding a get? What get? She doesn't have a get yet, according to the end of the Braisa. Amar Abami, it means tzricha chalitza im gita. The Braisa doesn't mean you have to give her another get. It means along with the get which she's already holding, she needs also a chalitza, because the get helps to pass all the zikah, but at this point she still needs chalitza to completely break the zikah. But in the last case over there where she says loy nivalti, and he originally claimed baalti, which is what we believe. Nevertheless, we can't force him to do chalitza, but we can ask him to do chalitza. If she wants to be mutter, she made herself aser by claiming that chalitza wasn't that we still need chalitza. Fine, you want chalitza? Fine, you ask him for it. We can't force him. Rav Ashi Amar, the difference is Hasam get lezikasa, Haka get lebiyasei. The difference is the get that Rav was talking about is that she had a get for her zika. The get actually doesn't say in it whether it's for the zika or after the behila. So the get we have to assume that get was only meant to break the zika, it doesn't break the zika completely. It only weakens it to the extent that now any yibum would be a yibum possible.
That he gave her the get, saying that
this possibly
impossible.
Right, that's a get lebiyasei. Okay, so he said, whatever, fine. The point is that hacha get lebiyasei, but later on, when she's going to need an actual get, because there was a bia. Now, the bia may have been a bia psula because it was after a get, because if it was after a get, was it kase. Nevertheless, though, still, you need a get in order to break that up, and then you need a chalitza as well. Yeah, that's midrabanan, and then you need a chalitza to break it up daraisa. So, yes, that's the braisa would mean that she needs get v'chalitza, in other words, she ends up needing two getin. The original one, the second one, as well as chalitza. Yeah. Okay. So, no contradiction. How about another case? The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Hanu shneim moedim to also the chamei derava. There was once a case where both of them were agreeing. The Yavam and the Yavama both came to Beis Din after 30 days, claiming that no be'ila had been done. Now this was the case, like the last case of the Braisa. Originally he came claiming I did do be'ila. Later on he changed his mind, but it was after 30 days. Amr lahu Rava, so Rava tells them, tells the Dayanim, Chaloitzula, arrange the chalitza for her, Ushurulay Tigra, and that way you'll take care of her problem. That way
you
don't need a get, right. Because in this case, it's because, yeah. Okay. Amalei Rav Shravula Rava, Valtani get, Tzricha get the chalitza. Didn't we just say the Braisa that she needs a get in chalitza? Amalei, so Rava says, you know what, you're right. Tanya, fine. If it says in a Braisa, then it says in a Braisa, okay. Then in that case, I guess she does need a get as well.
The
point is that we're telling that Rava thought to say that she only needs chalitza, because Rava thought to say once both of them are agreeing that no be'ila was done, then there's no reason for a get. But because we have the chazaka after 30 days that he did be'ila, and therefore the braisa says you need a get because of that. Midrabanan, therefore that's how it is. Another case, Bamine Hoin Breid Rav Nachman, Mid Rav Nachman, so Hoin, the son of Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, Sarasa Mahu. You're saying the woman herself, you say, the Yavama herself, she was married by the Yavam, so her tsara on the face of it became potter, because once Yibum has been done with one woman from the same bias and all the rest of them are mutter. Now later on, after time, they come to Beis Din claiming that no Be'ila was done, no Yibum was done, and therefore Chalitza is going to have to be done. Does the tzara become also at that point? If Yibum had been done, if a proper Yibum had been done with the first woman, with Rachel, then no question, Leah is mutter to marry whoever she wants. But like this, afterwards, so Leah went off and got, so the Yibum, the marriage was done. We don't know whether Be'ila was done yet. The marriage was done. Rachel went and married the Yavam. On the face of it, we think they did Be'ila. We don't know. So Leah figures, in that case, I'm free. I go marry somebody else.
What's the question? Why did he
give a chalitza? No. He didn't. What kind of chalitza? Listen, you had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel went and married the brother-in-law, the Yavam. We don't know whether they had relations.
Right.
Leah assumed at that point, okay, look, Yibum has been done, relations are going to be had. I'm mutter, I can go marry whoever I want.
Yes.
Now they come to Beis Din and they say that Be'ila has not been done, so now Leah still has a zika. She shouldn't have gone and married Lashuk. So do we ask her? So Rosh Samahu, does the Tzara become also at that point? To her husband. Do we say that she married him that was an Isser Lav? Or even we talked about earlier in the Masechta, whether Kedushin or even Typhus. By we had the Machalikas Rav and Shmuel, whether Kedushin or even Typhus by Yavam
al-Shuk.
The answer is Amalei v'chim ebnein sh'anu kofin of action to also Tzara, just because there's cases where you have to force... Can I translate, please? One second. Just because we're having to force the Yavam in some cases do chalitza, or asking him in other cases do chalitza because of the suffix, because she's claiming that she's aser, therefore we should aser her tzara. No. The chazaka is, usually when a person does Yibum, he's going to do Be'il right away. Yes, we said he might wait till 30 days, but the chazaka is usually that he's going to do it, fairly soon afterwards. So therefore the tzara is mutter, the tzara can be assumed to be mutter, and in fact there's the idea, we're going to learn in the last parak, that we don't believe a Yavama to testify about her Yavama. If you have two sisters-in-law, we don't believe them to testify in Beis Din about each other that their husbands are dead, because Yavamas tend to, Tzoreth in this case that we're talking about, you tend to hate each other. So it's okay. We might assume that this Yavama really, Be'ila was done. She is claiming in Beis Din that doesn't because she wants to mess things up for her Tzara. So we're not going to accept that. The Mishnah continued another case. Hanederas Hanav Cholo. That we said we had three possible cases where the woman made a neder not to have Hanav from her Yavam. We had one case where she did it while her husband was still alive, without any specific intent about Yibum. Just she hates her Yavam and doesn't want anything to do with him. Two, where she did it after her husband died, having in mind not.
She died, there was no Yibum.
That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Number two was she did after her husband died, intending to not do Yibum. And number three, she did it while her husband was alive, knowing that Yibum was going to happen. Let's say knowing that they're childless, for example, as Gemara is going to discuss, and therefore intending to get out of Yibum. So we said in the first case we force him to do Yibum, and the other two cases we ask him to. So the Gemara is going to compare it now with a similar case. Tanan Hasam, we learn in a Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Nedarim. But originally the din was as follows: Shalish Nashim Yotis from Netas Ksuba. There's three cases where a woman is divorced and is able to collect her Ksuba. And so she can force that she can go to Beis Din and have the Beis Din force her husband to give her again.
And
her Ksuba. Number one, Ha'imedes Tmei Anilach. If she says, I am Tomei to you, in other words, that she's the wife of a Kohen and she says, I was raped, which makes her also to her husband. It has to be, by the way, the Gemara explains there in the Nedarim, it has to be the wife of a Kohen, because if it was the wife of a Yisrael, and she says, I was Mizana Berotza, then of course she loses the Ksuba. Number two, Hashemayim Beini Levenach, the heavens, meaning the Eibishter, is between me and you, which means when we're alone together, when we're having our marital relations, nothing's happening. Rashi says it here, She'enchan Nizkakli Kederach Ben Adam, you're not having relations with me the way that normal people do. The Gemara actually says they were a little differently, that she says you are having relations, but you're not yoda kechet. Your zera is not shooting out like an arrow, as we discussed previously in the Sefer. So this gets into what you were talking about before, about where she's claiming he's impotent or not able to father children or whatever. So she's saying, Hashemayim Beini Levenach, like only the Eibishter knows the truth between us.
And therefore
she's saying, I want a divorce. And number three, when she says, Netula ani min ha-Yehudim, I am removed from the Jewish people, meaning I make a neder that I will not have any relations with any Jews, which includes her husband. And what does it mean, Rashi says, in particular, why would a woman make such a neder? Obviously because she finds Tashmish very, very, very painful or bothersome or psychologically difficult or whatever it is. That's originally Min HaYehudim. Well, not from the Goyim. I mean, the Goyim are not shy after her anyway. So Min HaYehudim, from any Jew in the world, anybody who I'd be capable of marrying, I'm not capable of having relations with them. So then, in those cases, so the original din was, you force the husband to divorce her. However, Chazru Loimah, later on the Chachamim changed their mind, and they realized, you don't want that this woman is going to actually be looking for somebody else. She really wants to get out of a bad marriage or whatever, and go, she wants to Ksuba, and then she's going to go marry somebody else. And then ruin things for her husband. Ella, so no, now the din is as follows. If this Eishes Kohen says, I'm Tomei to you, Tomei Rai, she has to bring proof for what she's saying. If she can't bring proof, then we ignore what she's saying. She would have to bring Adim, for example. She would bring Adim, or whatever. Now, Mephoshim there at the end of Nedarim asks the question, if Minat Torah she's offered to her husband, how are the Chachamim able to override that? So there's a lot of different answers, one of them being that the whole din, that in this case we would believe her, I think Tosfos talks about over there, that the whole idea that we would believe her in the first place is really only Midrabanan. Midaraisa we wouldn't, because she's Meshubah to him,
why can't she say,
so that's the one idea, because she has a Shibud to him, she has a Shibud that she's married to him, she doesn't have the right, one second, so according to this way of looking at it, she does not have the ability, therefore, to Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Disura, Midrabanan she would, when the Rabbanan realized there's this problem, that women are getting, there's this problem, they send it, then they return it to the original din. The Ran gives a different answer over there. The Ran says, the same way as we said a few times already that we said already that in certain cases, after inu rabbanon la kiddushin, that rabbanon can undo the kiddushin retroactively. So fine, in this case, the rabbanon effectively can retroactively undo his kiddushin. When she was nenas, when she was raped, she wasn't yet niskadish to him. She was a penuya, and she doesn't become also to him. Except the Ran says that wouldn't work if the person who she claims raped her was a nosin or a mamzer or somebody who would pass over the corner. That wouldn't work. Well, there's various possible answers anyway. Number two, Hashemayim Beini Levenach. And by the way, all these dinim are discussed pretty extensively in Shulchan Aruch, and there's a lot more complication to them now that you have the Chedim Ben Gershim, that you can't divorce a woman against her will, that it makes all these dinim much more complicated. When we say, for example, in this case over here, we're saying, Tobi Rai Ledvarea, meaning we're talking about when the husband doesn't believe her. So fine, in order to force him to divorce her, she'd have to bring a Raya. What about if he does believe her? Can he believe her and divorce her unilaterally? But before Chedim Deir Ben Gershim, no problem. The husband can divorce his wife unilaterally. After Chedim Deir Ben Gershim, no. So there's a huge discussion in Shulchan Aruch and in the Nois HaKelim of Shulchan Aruch, whether at that point we will allow him, whether Beis Din will allow him to say, you know what, I believe her. But on the face of it, that's allowing himself to divorce himself unilaterally. Can he do that? Yeah. Okay. Number two, Hashemayim Beinu Lebeinuch, if he says heaven is between me and you, meaning that we're not having normal relations, Yasu Derech Bakasha, then what you should do is do things in a way of requesting. So what does that mean? Rashi over here says, means based in, says to the husband, you know what? She's a Jewish woman. Treat her the way you should treat a Jew, the way you should treat the way a Jewish man should treat his wife. Treat her decently. Have normal relations with her. If he can't, that so 1 second. Rabbi Natam says in Tosfos that it means they should daven to the Eibishter. And then Rabbi Chananel explains the third explanation. It means you should make a suda. The husband should try to do something nice for his wife to make her feel better about the situation. The Rambam has yet a fourth explanation. The Rambam says that basically Yasu Derech Bakasha means that Beis Din tries to sort of like make a compromise. Like, fine, don't, you know, they say to the woman, you know what, you know, stick it out a little while longer, see what happens. You know, we'll try to get him to treat you to treat you properly and to have proper relations with you, but, you know, wait it out a while, basically. We learned earlier, now there's a lot of complication with this, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in the Samach, that if the woman claims that the husband is not Yoyre Kechei, then we believe her, because she's more familiar with that, and he's not. So it becomes, there's a Simon in Shulchan Aruch that discusses Simon Kufnun Dalet and Eben Ezer, that discusses these dinim, and it's also, it becomes quite complicated. When do we say, there's a difference between whether she's claiming he's impotent, like, you know, in modern terms, he can't get it up, you know, he needs Viagra, versus that he's not Yoyre Kechei. Versus that he's capable, he's just not doing it. There's a lot of different permutations. Yeah. A lot of different nuances and permutations. The Shach wrote a whole sefer called Gurus Anashim just on these dinim. Just on the complications of these dinim. Because it can get very complicated when you believe her, when you believe him, when you force him to divorce her, when you tell her to wait it out, etc. Yeah. Number three, Netula, and here's the one that's relevant to our mission over here. If she says Netula ani mina Yehudim, that I'm also to have relations with any Jew, well then Yofer Chelkai, the husband can cancel the part of a neder that's relevant to him. Meaning that in general, you know, the Torah says that when a woman makes a neder, her husband can cancel it that day. But there's also an idea. What if her neder includes something that affects him as well as something that affects others? He can cancel the part that's relevant to him. So in this case, he cancels the part of the neder that makes her also to have relations with him. And then she's allowed to have relations with him. And yes, she's removed from the rest of the Jewish people. Meaning, if he ever dies or divorces her, yes, she's also to marry anybody else.
She can't get the Yehudim.
That's the question. What would be the din in this last case in the Tula Ani Mina Yehudim? Is she allowed to do Yibum? Do we say that when she made the neder, she thought she considered the possibility that her husband might die childless, and then she's gonna be falling to Yibum? And then when she made this neder, she did mean to include the Yavam as well. Now the husband could only cancel the part that's relevant to him, so therefore the part with the Yavam is still in effect because the Yavam and the Yavam himself can't cancel it. So therefore, yes, she'd be also to do Yibum. Or lie, or maybe not. Maybe she meant by the neder like this. What is she trying to do with this neder after all? She's trying to force her husband to divorce her. And we said that was the original din, that Beis Din will force him to divorce her. So she means, you know what, I'm going to be usher to anybody who would otherwise be mutter to me to have relations after my husband divorces me. Which excludes the Yavam. If her husband divorces her, the Yavam is usher to her forever. That's the thing. That's what we said. The original din was that she's making this neder, and therefore that's grounds. So that's grounds for divorce. Because what is she? That's the thing. Rashi had said before. Because why is she b'chlam making this neder? Because tashmish is because having marital relations is hard on her. It's painful psychologically, whatever it is. So therefore, she's an onus. She feels like she's in an impossible situation. She makes this neder in order to force her husband to divorce her. So what is she having in mind? Anybody who otherwise were my husband to divorce me would otherwise I'd be allowed to marry and have relations with, I'm ostering myself. So that excludes the Yavam. The Yavam, if her husband divorces her, is also to her anyway. So maybe she doesn't have it in mind. Therefore, if in the end her husband did not divorce her, as we said, the Mishnah Achrayna was, we don't force him to divorce her. That, fine, you know, Tehim Shamashtay, etc. So now, when he dies, she's mutter to the Yavam, because she never meant to include the Yavam in her neder, maybe.
The other answer could be, that's a good question, how could she cancel the third? That is, when she canceled it, there was no mitzvah yet.
No. We're not talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. No, you asked how she. You asked how she can cancel the mitzvah of Yibum, or you asked how she can cancel the oino that her husband has. Okay, so as far as Yibum, it didn't happen yet. And as far as the oino, first of all, the mitzvah of the oino is mainly on the husband. But second of all, you can make a neder that includes something also and something mutter. You can make a neder that includes something of mitzvah and other things. For example, a person makes a neder, I'm never going to eat matzah, then that includes Pesach as well. You can't make a neder, I'm not going to eat matzah on Pesach, because that would be making a neder to violate a mitzvah. But when the neder includes Dvarim HaMutarim and Dvarim HaAsurim, then it can, because it's Chal on the one group.
Supposing somebody says, I'm not going to have anything no from Levis, you can't put it on film.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no. Mitzvah's not Lahadis Nitnu. You wouldn't say that's Anah. Matzah is eating. You're having anah. Okay. Anyway. So Rav Amar Yavam Ein Kabal. So Rav says indeed the Yavam is not like the husband. So therefore she will be mutter to him. Ushmul Amar Yavam Hareu Kabal.
If he revokes the nether, then he can't revoke, and therefore he's also.
Abaye says it seems more logical to what Rav is saying. The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, she made a neder not to have hanah from her yavam while her husband was alive. We said kofenosa sheyachos. We forced him to do chalitza. If you were going to say like Shmuel that she thought she knew at the time when she made the neder that her husband might die childless and she's going to come up for yibum, then it should be the same kind of case as in the Mishnah, that we might have to say that she specifically intended to get out of yibum and she can't and she doesn't have the right to do that. Therefore, we can't force the yavam to do chalitza. We only ask him to.
He doesn't want to.
It's a tough luck. She's the one who put herself in the situation. Not necessarily, because Hachab Maya Skin, and you could be talking about a case, the Isha Shiyesh Labanim, you could be talking about that this woman already has children. When she made this neder, she might be thinking her husband's eventually going to die. She's not going to be thinking about the possibility that the children might die and her husband might die. It's a very rare case. Okay, the question is, so what are you telling me then that when she made this neder, she had children and then the children died? She didn't have children. Sorry, if she didn't have children and then her husband died, then you're saying that you only asked the yavam to do chalitza. You can't force him because you might say she had in mind. Then in that case, adatoniim niskav nalakach afilu b'chayei baila. So what is the mission of bringing in a new case? If she had in mind to get out of yibum, then even if she made the neder while her husband was alive, mevachshim mina shiachlus lo, we only ask him to do chalitza. The Mishnah should make, according to that logic, the Mishnah should be making a distinction within the first case. When are we talking about? When do we say that we only ask him to do that we force him to do yibum? When do we force him to do yibum? If she had children, because then we can't say that she had yibum in mind. If she didn't have children, we only ask him. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction seems to be more according to like Rav. So if it made that distinction, that would be more like Shmuel, that she wasn't sure whether she, that at the time she made the neder, she didn't know whether she wasn't thinking of the yavam or not. According to Rav, it wouldn't make a difference. So no, it goes to show then that it doesn't matter whether she has children or not. Either way, you force him to do yibum. Kirav, that would be like Rav, as long as she made the neder while her husband was alive and did not specifically intend to get herself out of yibum, then we force him to do chalitza.
Why?
Because Rav is saying yavam ena kabal, that she made the neder only having her husband in mind. She did not. According to Rav, she would be mutter to do yibum. She didn't have in mind the yavam in the first place. So therefore, she was never also to the yavam.
She did what?
When she made this neder. She didn't think that there's going to wind up being a situation of yibum.
What difference does it make?
That's the point. If she didn't have that in mind, she wasn't doing it in order to get out of yibum. She was just doing it as a more general thing. I hate my yavam. I want nothing to do with him. Well, then after that itself doesn't make her also to that doesn't affect. Not really. No. Rather. No, so we have the two cases. Metula mina yehudim, where she, that's the question. We're discussing the Tula mina yehudim. She's saying, I don't want to have anah, I don't want to have tashmish with anybody in the world. So the question is that including the Yavam or not? Did she even think at the time that there might be a possibility of Yavam? So we're saying, according to Rab, she did not think that.
Right.
And therefore when her husband actually dies and she comes up for Yavam, therefore, she's taka also to do Yavam with him. It did include the Yavam.
And therefore,
what it is like this. Rav is saying like this. Really, when she made the neder netulani mina yehudim, it meant her husband and everybody else in the world. Her husband can be made for her part, his part, but the Yavam can't be made for his. Therefore, she remains also to the Yavam. And our Mishnah is saying, in a similar case, our Mishnah is talking about the case where she made a specific neder against the Yavam, that as long as she didn't do it in order to get out of Yavam, then we force him to do Chalitza. So that matches what Rav is saying, that it doesn't matter whether it was likely that Yavam was going to come or whether it was unlikely that she had children as well. Either way, her neder was chal, because it included that she's not going to have any hana from this yavam, meaning any hana as well as it included dvarim amutarim and dvarim asurim. It meant right now I'm not going to have any hana from him, and if it should come to Yibum, I'm also going to have to have any hana from him. So therefore, it's chal on everything. And therefore, and that's according to Rab, where the according to Shmuel, in the case of Natula Animina Yehudim, the yavam was never included in the first place. So in that case, then, how does that match our Mishnah? How does that match our Mishnah that there's a distinction whether she meant to get out of Yibum or not?
Shmuel doesn't make that distinction.
The distinction that our Mishnah makes matches Rav's opinion better. Which also, Mepharshim point out that one idea is if she made a the Rivet, for example, points out if she made a neder not to have Hanav from the Yavam, Hanav here doesn't just mean Tashmish. Because obviously she was also tame at that time for Tashmish anyway. It means any Hanav. So in that case, we can force him to do Yibum because. Or in the other cases, we can ask him, not Yibum, Chalitza. We can force him or ask him in the various cases to do Chalitza. Why? Because there's a concept called Ein Adam Dorim Nachash B'Tfifa Achas. So that a person can't be expected to live in one basket with a snake. Meaning, if he's also to have any Hana from her, even you might say, fine, maybe it doesn't include Tashmish because that's a mitzvah. But every time anything they're going to try to do around the house, she's not going to be able to have Hana from him. He can't live that way. So therefore, we make him do Chalitza. So that proves that the halacha is like Rab, Shmamino, that proves it. Now, we learned in the previous parak about Ketana. Now we have to learn the next case about where Kedushin exists only to Rabbanon, the Chershis, as we started learning in the previous parak. Now again, as the Gemara is going to point out, Midaraisa, a Chersh or a Chershis is incapable of getting married because they don't have Das. Midrabbanon, they made a Takana that they're able to.
The Chersh can get a get.
The difference is that a cheresh can give, a cheresh cannot give a get, but a cheresh can receive one. A shoita also, a shoita cannot give a get. A shoita, midaraisa she could. Midaraisa she could. Midrabanan, we don't want her to. That's it. So, cheresh nasa pitachas, if a cheresh man, and again, a cheresh, as usual, means a deaf mute, marries a pitachas, a normal woman, or pikeach shenasa chereshes, or the other way around, the husband is normal and the wife is a chereshes, imrata l'hoitzi yoitzi, either way, if he wants to divorce, he can, imrata l'kayim yikayim, and if he wants to stay married, they can stay married. How is he able to divorce if he's a cheresh? Because, k'shem shu konis b'remiza, just as he's able to marry her with gestures, he gestures that I want to do kedushin, or that I want the nisuin, whatever, kachum moitzi b'remiza, so also, we accept his gestures to that he gestures to the sofer to write the get and to the adam to give it and so forth. It's das klisha, it's a weak kind of das, because his marriage only existed abanon anyway, so their marriage only existed abanon, so therefore the chachamim made a takana that they can do that they can divorce their abanon as well. On the other hand, pikeach shenasa pikachas, if a pikeach marries a pikachas, vinis charsha, and then she becomes a charshus, imrata yotzi, if he wants, he can divorce her, which is fine, because she doesn't need das to receive, she doesn't need consent to receive the get, vimrata yikayim, but if he wants, he can stay married. But on the other hand, nishtakes lo yotzi, if she becomes a shoita, if she becomes mentally deficient, then midrabbanan is not allowed to divorce her, as the Gemara will talk about tomorrow, because you don't want, she doesn't know how to take care of herself, you don't want people to take advantage of her. No. We're saying that. One second. We're saying midaraisa he would be able to give her a get. But Midrabana not because the difference between a cherish between a cherish and a pikachas. A cherish does not das, but she knows how to take care of herself. She knows how to protect herself. She knows how to protect herself from people who might take advantage of her. A shoita doesn't. So you don't want. I mean, maybe it would be different nowadays if they have homes for such people. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Nischarish huay nishtata. On the other hand, if the husband becomes a cherish or a shoita, he can't divorce her ever because he's not capable of giving a get. And since he was married to her daraisa, he can't give her a get. That's only going to be valid. Midrabanan.
Nothing.
Hopefully he recovers. So there's many, many cases of shailos hatshuvos in halacha, in the shailos hatshuvos literature, that discuss cases where a person is a borderline shoita, or whether he's able to give a get, whether he's normal enough to be able to give a get or not. Famous story of the Masechet about it. We talked a few months ago about the get to Kliva, which was a whole controversial thing in among the Rabbanim of Europe about 200 years ago. There's many, many, many cases in Jewish history of cases like this where the husband was a shoita or thought to be a shoita, and there was a question whether he's capable of giving a get. It depends. It's a case by case thing.
How severe
the shtus is, basically. Yeah. In the case of Tzemach Tzedek, for example, was a story that the guy acts like a crazy person, but the Tzemach Tzedek tells him, gives him a shopping list to go to the store and get such and such and bring back change, and he does, and then he explains based on the Rishami that the person is able to make change. He's not considered a shoita. There's a lot of cases. Yeah. Anyway,
it's a clinical medical question.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, but Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says why? What's the logic to distinguish? Why are you saying that a woman who's a cherishes is able to be divorced, but a man who's a cherish is not able to give a get? Which the Gemara is going to explain, we'll learn tomorrow, that he means neither of them is able to give a get in that case, or give or receive a get.
So his assumption is
that you can't give a get to a cherishes. They told him, "Ain't a doma. Ha'isha megarish, la'isha miskarish." In fact, there's a difference. Sha'isha yotzel l'tzayno, shalay l'tzayno. A woman can be divorced with her will or against her will. Va'isha ain't a yotzel l'tzayno, whereas a man can be divorced with his will. So if he's a cheresh, he doesn't have daf, so therefore he can't.
He knew that, obviously.
No, but obviously he didn't accept that. We're going to explore, we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara. That he had a reason for arguing against that distinction. And the Gemara continues, where the Mishnah continues, with a practical case. Hey, Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada. Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada said Eidus, and there's a Mishnah in Eidus as well, and the halacha is like every Mishnah in Eidus. So this is meant to establish that the halacha is really like this. Al Cherches Sheishtiyavia, about a Cherches who was married off by her father, where it was a marriage d'Araisa, because her father has the capability of marrying off d'Araisa.
One second.
She Yotza beget, that she's able to be divorced for the get.
No,
it was. The kibbo kiddushay abav a kiddushin gemurim. So yaitza beget, Rashi says. It was a kiddushin gemurim because her father is a pikeach. Her father is able to accept kiddushin on her behalf. She's a cherish, it doesn't matter. When she's a kana, you don't need her daf. You need him daf.
So if he would be a cherish, she would not be able to give her.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about her father was a pikeach. Yeah.
No, her husband.
Okay. Oh, okay, we're not getting into that. We're talking about her husband was a pikeach. Her father was also a pikeach. She's a cherishes. And Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada is saying she was married off by her father, so it was a kedushin and an isurin d'oraisa, and yet she yotze beget, that she's able to be divorced with a get, even though she doesn't have the daf to receive it. Amruloi afzuka yotze bas. So the same thing in our case in our Mishnah, same idea where it was a cherishes who was married on her own when she was a gdola, same idea. Or no, when she was a pikachas, she became yet.
Because the get is
yet.
Right.
Yeah. Now to cases of yibum, bezach achin chershin nesurim the bezach choyes chershes. We had this in the previous parak. You had two brothers who are chershim are married to two sisters who are chershes. Or the shtei achoyes pichos, or the two sisters are pichos. Or the shtei achoyes achas chershes vachas pikachas, or one sister is chershes one pikachas. Or bezach choyes chershes nesurim the shnei achin pichin, or the other way around, two sisters.